seated as the ushers serve you. How many are ready for a good word this morning? You can open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's a famous verse of Scripture. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, living for a reason. Sadly, we don't see the reason in life so much of the time. There are some people who wander aimlessly through their days, through their life, without direction. Seemingly, everything that happens to them is a random act. And we have lost a sense of purpose. And of all the people in the planet, the demographic that deserves to live their life with great purpose would be the children of God. I'm talking about us, me and you. We need to know what it is to live for a reason. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Would you read that out loud with me? To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Many believers today, not to mention those who are not believers, need a new sense of purpose for their lives. The Bible is strong on purpose, and it gives us a clue here that seasons and purposes come together. The definition of the word purpose is the reason for which something exists. Are you in existence this morning? If you exist, then there is evidence that you have a purpose, a reason for being here. Purpose is the reason you are existing on earth. I want to tell you the story about a bad dude. He was really bad. He lived a long time ago. And he was raised religious. In fact, he was raised Jewish. And he went to the best Jewish schools. He was orthodox in all he did. He was ritualistic and ceremonially religious. He didn't break the law. He was the upper class of the religious people of his day. And yet, when Jesus came on the scene of the earth and died and was raised from the dead, and the entire world as we knew it at that time was so impacted by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, this one man, a religious Jew, hated it. And so he got government authority from Rome to go about persecuting, torturing, imprisoning, and even murdering Christians while they worship. The government backed him on that. Now, you figured it out by now. I'm talking about Saul, not the Old Testament king, but the New Testament Saul, who was on his way from his house to Damascus with legal authority in hand to kill Christians when he got there. Again, he was a mass murderer. And you know what happened to him. He was on the road to Damascus when he had an experience unlike anything anybody had ever had before. We call it now the Damascus Road experience. He was riding his horse full of venom and anger, plotting the way he was going to kill a bunch of Christians when he got to his destination, and all of a sudden, without expecting it, a bright light from heaven started shining in his face. It was so bright, it hit him powerfully. It knocked him off of his horse, flat of his back, and blinded him. And as he lay there on the ground and couldn't move because of this experience, blinded by the light Jesus spoke out loud to him. And do you know what Jesus said to this evil, corrupt, mass murderer? Jesus said these words to him: I have appeared to you for this purpose. If God can do whatever it takes to stop an evil man like Saul and speak into his life and said, I have appeared to you for this purpose, don't you think that at some point in our earthly journey, we should be able to hear the Lord say to us, I'm showing up in your life right now for a purpose. The three greatest questions in life. Number one, the question of existence. Why am I alive? Number two, the question of significance. Does my life matter? And thirdly, the question of intention. What is my purpose? Now, purpose has been marginalized. It's been minimized. It's been reduced to something that is not a priority in our lives and in our days much of the time. But we need to revisit the strength of biblical foundation for purpose for everybody's life. You've heard so many people, and so have I, people who've had a near-death experience. I've had a couple myself. A near-death, I mean, I knew suddenly. That was a close call. I came close that time. But you've heard people who've had near-death experiences, perhaps in an automobile accident. I met a man one time in Florida who told me that he had been in two automobile accidents in the last 6 months, and everybody else in both accidents that was in the car were killed except him. He was the lone survivor. And when a person has been through a near-death experience, this happens in your life, and you know a lot of people who say this, and they will say it like this. They immediately, after a near-death experience, have a sudden, fresh sense of purpose. And they say, God must have a purpose for me being alive. And so purpose is something that should be very important to us. Now, this past week, I was blessed to have lunch with the former mayor of Florence, Haig Porter. And it was his invitation. He called me up, and we met each other 20 years ago, actually, when he was doing some legal work for the church, the purchase of our Walmart property. You know, hey, we used to own Walmart, everybody. And so he was involved in the legal work back then, and he saw up close and personal 20 years ago how the favor of God was on our church. He's a good man. A member, a lifelong member of St. John's Episcopal Church. God loves those Episcopalians. He serves in leadership in the church there, takes it most seriously. He called me after many years and said, I've just been thinking about you. I'd like to take you out to lunch and catch up. So we met for lunch this past week at Victor's Restaurant in the hustling, bustling downtown city of Florence. I mean, that's downtown. It's alive down there. And as soon as we sat down for lunch, he said, Carl, I just celebrated my 85th birthday. I said, well, you look like you're doing well. And he told me, oh, yeah, I work a full schedule. I've not slowed down. And he said, in addition to my law practice, Henry McMaster, our governor, a year or two ago appointed me a judge, and so now that takes up some of my time, and I love it. And he also serves on the board of trustees for the University of South Carolina, and He was a founding member, still serving on the board of the Bruce and Lee Foundation. Does a lot of good for most desperate people in our community. A real good man, salt of the earth. So sitting there at the table, and I still call him Mayor, I said, Mayor, what is your secret? You're 85 and you're still energetic and full of life and you don't appear to have slowed down any. And he immediately answered that question. He said, I have a strong sense of purpose. I have a reason to get up every morning and go about my life. And when he said that, it was so real for him. This man is a man who lives his life, even at his age, on purpose. He understands the importance of living for a reason. Now, also, on a sad note, all of you may remember 2 or 3 weeks ago, Brenda and I were not here on a Sunday. We were in Ohio at the funeral of a dear friend. Her name was Kathy Campfield. She and her husband, Dale, and their grandson is there on the screen. Dale is a pastor of a great church in Cincinnati, a church a lot like ours. And in fact, Dale and I have served on the missions board of Evangel Fellowship International for many years. He, like we, are all about church planting in third world nations and world missions. The commitment of their church is strong. We've known this couple for 30 years, worshiped in conferences together, been in board meetings together. 7 years ago, we got the news that Kathy was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctors gave her 2 years to live. That was 7 years ago. And the way she lived her life during that journey, battling cancer, is she would purpose in her heart for a short-term goal. She'd believe God for that. It would be, I want to live until I see our son get married. And sure enough, she was alive when their son got married. And then she said, about 3 or 4, 5 months later, they found out they were pregnant, going to have a baby. Then she said, I want to live until I see my grandson born. So every breath she took was intentional purpose. Now, while we know death is an appointment for all of us, and none of us will have that appointment nullified, and none of us know the number of our days on earth, but God has numbered our days. He counted them all up before we left our mother's womb. So we're going to trust him for the times and the seasons in our life. But she purposed, I want to be here when our grandson is born, and she was. And then in recent weeks and months, her purpose was, if I can make it to Thanksgiving with my family. And she did. And then she purposed to make it to Christmas with her family. And she did. She finally passed away at age 60 a few weeks ago, one remarkable woman of great faith. And the doctors gave her 2 years to live. 7 years ago, she outlived the doctor's prognosis by far because of this. There is something about purpose that will add days to your life and will add life to your days. That's how important purpose is. Now, if you asked some people, what's your purpose in life? What's your reason for living? Some popular answers would be, well, making money. I want to make all the money I can. I'm going to make all I can, sit on the can. It's all about money. Some people might say, well, my reason for living, getting up in the morning, I'm climbing the ladder. I'm climbing up the ladder of success in my life. You could ask some people, What's your reason for living? What are you living for? What's your purpose in life? And they may say, well, I want to get a good education and get a good job because job security for the rest of my life is important to me. That's the reason I'm living right now. Some will say, honorably, I'm living to raise a family. Now listen, if you're here today and you're raising a family, oh, heaven's purpose all over you for that. What responsibility. If you do nothing else, if you don't even go to work on a job, if you just raise a family these days, then there's so much purpose in that, you don't need to look much further, especially a lot of single moms. How honorable you are to pour your life. What purpose do you have in this earth that could be greater than raising a child or raising a family? You could ask some people, what's your reason for living? What gets you up and get out of bed in the morning? And some people may say, well, honestly, it's all about the bling. Designer cars, fine clothes, the best restaurants, and the bling. Really, materialism, hello, it's showing its head in our culture. Some people are so clueless. So what's your reason for living? Well, I'm just going to try to get along the best way I can until I die. Some are literally in neutral, coasting through life, running out the clock. Not a day with significant purpose that they're aware of in their life. Hey, God is showing up today to change that in somebody's life and give us a new sense of purpose. We need to know that once you come into the kingdom of God, you have a mission. And you need understanding of your purpose because God is a God of purpose. He does everything intentionally. He does nothing by coincidence or by accident. Everything he does is purposeful and intentional. And since God is a God of purpose, his people should be people of purpose. It's all throughout Scripture. Even Jesus, before he was a teenager, while he was still a preteen, he made a shocking statement. He said, I must be about my Father's business. What advice from a young boy, the Lord Jesus at a young age, always knowing even then he was here on purpose. He was living for a reason. Romans 8:28, one of our go-to verses. You love it. We quote it a lot. Everything works together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Love these phrases. He's made known to us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Everything God did, including choosing you and choosing me, he did on purpose. He did it with intention. Verse 11, Ephesians 1:11 says, God predesigned us according to his purpose. Just think about that. Your DNA, the structure of your cell makeup, every atom, neuron, proton, neutron, everything you learned in science, it's all up in you. God predesigned each of us according to his purpose for our life. Just imagine it. Now there is a penalty. I'm talking serious right now. A penalty for not knowing your purpose. Here's the way it'll play out. If you are without purpose, if you have no real reason to live, you think, then you're going to deal with aimlessness in life. Whatever. You're going to be a victim of whatever life sends your way. You're going to lead a very unfulfilling and unrewarding life because you have no sense of purpose and no sense of being led by God's purpose, that you were predesigned for a reason to live. And life can be tiresome. There's a penalty to be paid for not knowing your reason for living, for not knowing your purpose on earth. Now, purpose is a lot like vision. I've given you the statement before. Where there is no ongoing, progressive revelation of the will of God, people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. So it's so very important to know the will of God. You can never know the will of God without knowing the Word of God. This is His will. His Word is His will. The last section in the book is His last will and testament. So in order to find your purpose, there's a clue in His book. So we go in there because where there is no ongoing, progressive revelation of the will of God, people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. That's a wasted life, a life that's lived with no purpose. And you should know there will be resistance to your purpose. I want to tell you a story. It's little known. It takes place in the book of Ezra. Back in that day, God's people were building a temple in which to worship Him. So it was the construction of a temple for God's people to worship. But the people who lived close by in that country were against them, did not want them to build a temple to their God. So their purpose took on adversaries. I'm telling you, if you are a man or a woman of purpose, you will face adversity. There will be resistance to your purpose. Why? It's not your purpose. God predesigned you and made you the way you are with His purpose in mind. And so they were busy building a temple in which to worship God, and the adversaries came out of the woodwork. And Ezra chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, says, "Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah," God's people. "They troubled them in building." And the next verse, listen to this phrase, "and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose." I am a man with a purpose. You should be a man or a woman with a purpose. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't know already, there will be challenges. Adversaries will come and they will try to frustrate your purpose. Now, I do not like that phrase right there in the Bible. The thought that an adversary could frustrate the very precious thing God has given me and you, given to each one of us, His purpose for living our life on earth. And yet an enemy will come to frustrate your purpose. I like what Tracy said, we don't wait till we get into battle to be ready for war. We're ready before the battle starts. Have you ever had an adversary frustrate your purpose? Rick Warren knows the power of purpose. In fact, other than the Bible, the Holy Bible, which is the number one bestseller for centuries, year after year after year, it's the best-selling book on the planet. Well, number two, second to the Bible, the best-selling book ever published in the world was, by the way, about this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. Millions and millions sold. And he says this, Your purpose predates your birth. And the Bible teaches that. You don't wait until you're 30 or 50 or 70 years old to decide one day, oh, I'm going to have a purpose. No. Before you left your mother's womb, the Bible says God was there. He was wonderfully and beautifully shaping you in your mother's womb, and he did it intentionally with a purpose he's giving you. God spoke to the prophet and said, I knew you when you were in your mother's womb. So even before our birthday, God has woven purpose together in each of our life. And he has a great reason for all of us to be alive. And your purpose is not something new. It's not even new to God. It's not. It may be new to you when you're aware of it, but God was working on it while your mother was pregnant with you. Your purpose predates your birth. And purpose will give your life focus. Purpose. The Apostle Paul said, I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. And he said, I'm going to forget the past. That was a different season. And right now I'm looking forward to this season. Because the Bible says to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. I want to say to you, there is a purpose for every season, and there is a season for every purpose. Ask you this question, what season are you in? Not everyone is in the same season. This past Monday, I officiated a beautiful private wedding ceremony, two young people in love, committing their life to each other. That was Monday. Tuesday, I officiated the funeral service for a lady who had passed away at age 95. I had, in 2 days, two different scenarios, two different families, two different seasons. One family celebrating a season of new love and commitment for life together, fresh start, husband and wife. Another family grieving the loss of a dear, precious mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother who had lived a long and wonderful life to the age of 95. Not any two people in this room right now are necessarily in the same season. So you need to know what season you're in, because you need to know the purpose for this season. Seasons come and go. Daniel 2:21, I've told you many times, God changes the times and the seasons. God does it. And with every change of time and seasons, your purpose can change. Now, don't get me wrong. Some parts of your purpose last for your lifetime. But then there is a part of your purpose that will be adjusted or be entirely different from one season to the next. Your purpose is not always the same in every season. I'll tell you, I'm all autobiographical this morning. We all have a story. You got a story, and it's a good one. I have a long story. I'm not going to give it all. I had a 12-year season in my life, from the time I was 18 to 30, a 12-year season where I served God every day by serving one man. Now, a lot of pastors who are called to pastor, as I am, they will prepare by going off to seminary, a theology school, they'll prepare for ministry, and I love all that. I did some of that. But I was prepared for ministry over 12 years working for an evangelist. And his name was Laverne Tripp. Laverne and Edith Tripp, dear friends for life. When I was 18 years old, this man was the king of gospel music, the vocalist of the year. He had written Song of the Year. He walked away with all the awards in 1974. And he's the only songwriter in the history of Christian music, even today, that's written three number one songs consecutively, meaning he wrote one song and it stayed at number one for 12 months. And it was finally knocked out of first spot by another song he wrote and sang. And it stayed number one for a while. And then when it came out of number one, the third consecutive song he wrote and recorded in gospel music became the number one song, replacing his first two. No, Bill Gaither, Dottie Rambo, none of the other great songwriters have that on their resume. And when I was 18, this man hired me. And I, for 12 years, learned some principles. Still learning from this great man. He'll call me today and minister to me. He's so sweet and so precious, and we just love him. But for 12 years, I had a season. My purpose in those 12 years was one thing. But then seasons change and purposes change. Now, in his life, he's been in ministry for 45 years. I was there and helped him get started. I have been with him all over the world. I've seen him in the largest churches and the smallest churches. I've seen him give an invitation and hundreds come running in other nations to receive Christ. And he still does some of that, but he's in a different season. God changes the times and the seasons. It's easy for us to sometimes look back and say, well, I think the devil did that. No, God changes the times and the seasons. And while he still does some crusades and ministering, music and preaching, he's a great evangelist. He spends most of his days ministering one-on-one. It's a shift in his purpose. And I won't even tell you some of the people he does minister to. Get in trouble. But God allows him to cross paths with people whose life is a mess. And Laverne has been there and knows how to minister to them. And so it's amazing how our purpose changes in season. I remember we lived in Spartanburg for 10 years. Laverne and I, he was all over the world most of the time, but when he was in town and in the office, Main Street in Spartanburg, we had driven it 1,000 times over 10 years. And then we moved his office to California. And it was our last trip in Spartanburg before moving. And we were in the car, he was driving. I said, he was talking about the future. I said, well, Laverne, wait a minute, hold on a minute, please. We have driven this road for 10 years. Do you realize that this is the last time we will be in the car driving this road together? Our life is getting ready to change. Aren't you the least bit sentimental? Will you give me a moment here? And he instantly said, oh, it was a great season, but I expect the next season to be wonderful too. And he shook it off, and that's the way he handled it. Now, I'm talking about living for a reason, a new sense of purpose for our life. The Bible says this, The sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and knew what to do. Unless you have understanding of the times and the seasons, when they change in your life, you may not know what to do. The sons of Issachar had understanding of the times and knew what to do. Now, another part of my life story. When I was 30, God called me to pastor. We were living in California and loving it. Thought I just love picking an orange out of my yard in February for breakfast and looking up there and seeing snow on top of the mountain way off in the distance year long. So I just thought it was about like heaven. But the call of God changed. The times and seasons changed. And God convinced me. He was calling me to pastor at age 30. So we left California and came to Florence to start a church. And I'm a church planter, not only here, but in Latvia. Started a church there and helped others start churches in many other nations. That's part of what we all do, including you. Part of the vision of our church is the Great Commission. We're all into home missions and world missions, and especially when it comes to helping a pastor start a church and resource and train and develop relationships with churches in other nations, that's what we do. But I know what it is to be a pioneer. When I was 30, I was a pioneer. I pioneered a new church. I loved that, by the way. That was just a wonderful time in my life. But seasons have changed over the years, and I'm no longer a pioneer. I'm a settler. Pioneers go into new territory, fight the enemy, and take possession of the land. A settler will come in and settle the land. Now, when it was my season to be a pioneer, I was graced to be a pioneer. But the season changed over the years. I will help others pioneer, but I don't want to do it anymore. God called me to do some things when I was younger that I'm glad he's not going to call me to do now that I'm older. Hello, I've been a pioneer, and I've been a settler. It's important to know what season you're in because your purpose may change. Now, our dear pastor, Bishop Houston Miles, we have a picture of Bishop Miles and Miss Evelyn. He turned 91 this past October. Now, this great man has been my pastor since I was 18. He is our bishop. And I was a member of his church for 10 years. This is a father in the spirit to me and to so many people. This one man is responsible for 600 new churches that were started in the 1990s in the former Soviet Union. Our church in Latvia is just one, but he commissioned and encouraged hundreds of young pastors like me. Young pastors like me to go over and preach a crusade and win thousands to the Lord in what used to be the Soviet Union. That happened in the 90s. This man here built the largest church building in South Carolina. I was watching the ABC Evening News one Sunday evening, and this man was on the news on stage at his 5,000-seat church in Spartanburg, and everybody praising God. It made the ABC News, and there was my pastor. This man has been incredible. He has moved mountains. He has inspired thousands of young men and women in ministry. He's 91 now, and you know what he said recently? My number one ministry now is being my wife's caregiver. God changes the times and the seasons. You need to know what season you're in that will give some light to your purpose for that season. Now, there are three words that should describe your purpose in every season: intentional, relevant, and useful. If you know your purpose and if you're living for a reason, regardless of what season you're in, these three words should matter to you: intentional, relevant, and useful. When Bishop Miles was pastoring a 5,000-seat church and launching missions trips to the Soviet Union, every day of his life was intentional, relevant, and useful. Now, in a different season, when his number one ministry priority is being a caregiver to his wife, still, this is true. Every day with him is intentional, relevant, and useful. So look at your life, take an audit, and find out if these three words resonate with you. Are you working with these three words according to God's purpose for your life? Are you doing things intentionally? Are you relevant to the season God has you in? And are you useful to the kingdom in this present season? Now, God's word is a guiding light, and it'll point you toward your purpose in every season. I remember in an earlier season of my life, I needed to hear this. I found it in God's word. Walk worthy of your vocation where you've been called. And when I was a young man, and that spoke to me about the general purpose, and I got it from God's word: walk worthy of the vocation. My point is this: if you're trying to figure out more about your purpose, go to the word. You'll find something for every season that would confirm his purpose for that season of your life. And I remember, and I've told you this before, but I'm autobiographical a little this morning. When Bishop Miles encouraged me to go to the former Soviet Union for a 5-day crusade, and he said, "Carl, you'll win souls over there. They're hungry for the gospel." So we went to Latvia, a city called Liepāja. The only thing we were told about that city, it was chosen for us, is that it had a population of 120,000 people. And I thought, that's a pretty nice-sized town, 120,000. We're going to go preach a crusade over there to people who may have never heard about the gospel. And when we get there to Latvia, I notice that the people there, and they weren't wealthy. They didn't have diamonds or jewels, but they did have a simple wedding band. But instead of wearing their wedding rings or wedding band on their left hand, they wore them on their right. And I remember thinking, that's strange. These people over here wear their wedding rings on the wrong hand. We had 5 days in that city, saw such hunger for God. I got on the plane to fly back. You know this part of my story. And I felt like God was not finished with my purpose in that city. And so I said, well, I'm on the flight, long flight. I'll read the word. I'm going to read the book of Jonah, because that's the book about God calling one man to a city. So while we're on the flight on the way home from Latvia, I read the book of Jonah, the story of God calling a man to a city. And every word I read, it was like an awareness, I got to go back. I'm not finished there. There's greater purpose God has for me in that city. So I'm reading the book of Jonah, and I get to the very last verse. Jonah, the very last verse. Did I have it up there? Goes, there you go. God speaking to Jonah. Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left? And when I read that, that's one example of how God will use his word to confirm a purpose in your season right now. So we look for his will, and we look for his word. Now, and then without counsel, Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. So I met with our bishop. I called him up again. Bishop, I just got back. I'm thinking maybe I should move over there. Can we talk? And he said, yeah, we'll drive to Spartanburg and we'll talk tomorrow. So I went up and met with our bishop. I think I need to move over there. He spoke such clarity because I was thinking I'd have to leave here. This is over for me for life. I'd have to go there for life. And he said, in such counsel and in such wisdom, he said, Carl, I wouldn't be surprised if God's not calling you for a year. Establish a church, live there for a year. At the end of the year, turn the church over to a Latvian pastor who's trained and ready for ministry. And then you come back to America for the rest of your life. I appreciate, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. And can I be honest with you? I don't even know if I've told Brenda. Darling, you may be hearing this right now for the first time. I'm just being real honest about this point, and then we're going to dismiss. But at that meeting, our bishop encouraged me to go for a year, take my family, of course, and live over there for a year and start a church in that wonderful city. And I'm asking his counsel on it, getting confirmation. And I said this is what I don't think I've ever told anybody this. I looked at our bishop. And I said, Bishop Miles, I've just got to tell you the truth. 98% of me is convinced that this is the will of God for my life. But if I am honest, I've got to tell you that there's about 2% of me that's natural, and I just want to go do it whether God's in it or not. And it was a lighter moment than that. And he smiled and he said, Carl, I said, should I be concerned about that 2% that's just naturally excited? I want to go do this. And he said, Carl, I wouldn't be concerned about that. I think maybe God put that there to make the challenge easy. Listen, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. And so we get our best counsel from God's word always first, and then God will lead us to people who can speak a confirmation of the purpose of God for his life. Now I'm going to close with this story for real. In fact, it'll help me if you'll stand up. I close faster if you stand. Oh boy, they're jumping up all over the place. Like popcorn. At the movie theater, just popping up everywhere. This is a true testimony, and I think it will encourage you. You may have something like this happen to you this year, this week, maybe even later today. Shirley Harvey tells the story. She and her husband, Frank, built a great church in North Carolina, and they were getting ready to leave town for a ministry trip. Frank and Shirley both were leaving together for a ministry trip. Her day was busy. She had a to-do list. She had to go by the store. She had to go by the drugstore. She had to go by the dry cleaners and pick up laundry in order to pack and leave town for a ministry trip. And so she was busy, busy, busy about her day. She had a list of things to check off that had to be done today. She had her to-do list, and she was working it. And she said, I pulled into the dry cleaner's parking lot and in a hurry got out, shut the door, went inside to get our dry cleaning for the trip. And she said, I ran into a woman in the parking lot. And I wanted to dismiss her quickly. I was in a hurry, on a deadline, time crunch. But the woman would not accept it. And so almost in a moment of frustration, Shirley looked at the lady and started to tell her, I've got to go. I don't have time to talk. when she said the Lord spoke to her and said, "Surely you are always on call." And we are always on call for a divine appointment. That's part of our purpose. So expect it today, this week. Expect to be on call. God may have a purpose for you right there in real time, one person you're ministering to. It could be a divine appointment. Listen, you have an assignment. Some people know what assignments are when they get it from God. We're always on call for a divine appointment. That's part of our purpose. Sing it.